We come to the read the word of God, and the word of God is our light all the time. The scripture is Exodus 3 from verse 1 to 12. I'm reading from New International Version. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of the form within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn. It did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face, because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So, I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So, now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. God bless this word. When we see Book of Exodus, and Book of Exodus for the people of God was very important book. It's not because it's important than other book in the Bible, but because it has the very important event for the people of God in the Old Testament with Exodus, come out of the bondage of Egyptian. And even Jesus referred to the word, used the word Exodus about his crucified and his dying on the cross to save his people. It's like the cross in the New Testament is very important thing, and the Exodus in the Old Testament is very important thing for the people of God. When we read the book of Exodus, and we see that God said in Exodus 3, verse 10, now go, I am sending you. And this is the title for the sermon this morning. It's, I am sending you. God sending us, God send you, God send me. It means our commission, it's not from the people, it's from God, because God is sending us. Why is he sending us? To deliver his people. We are not people that deliver people, but God delivers people through us. We are tools in God's hand to deliver his people. When we read Exodus 1 and 10, we see that people in Egypt, or especially Pharaoh in Egypt, try to get rid of the people of God. People suffered under Pharaoh. But there was difference between Pharaoh that knew Joseph and the Pharaoh who didn't know Joseph. Because the Bible tells us there is another Pharaoh came and became a king for Egypt. The king who knew Joseph, when Jacob's son came to Egypt with the family, the Pharaoh placed them in the best area of Egypt. Exodus 1 tells us that the Pharaoh who knew Joseph died. The new Pharaoh's plan was to destroy the people of God. And he tried to destroy them a number of times. But he failed every time he tried to kill them or destroy them. And not only that, but every time that Pharaoh tried to kill the people of God, the people of God multiplied. And chapter 1, verse 12 said, but more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were in dread of the children of Israel. And this is not in Pharaoh's day only, even nowadays. Every time the devil tries to destroy the people of God, we see the opposite result. This happened with the early church in Acts 8, verse 4 and 5 said, therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. After Pharaoh failed the first and second time, Pharaoh issued a command to his people, every son that is born to the Hebrews, you shall cast into the Nile, but you shall let every daughter live. And some people ask a question, if Pharaoh liked to destroy the people of God, why he killed only male? Why he killed only male people? Or male children, not female. The plan was, when he killed the male, like the female or the girls, the daughters, will not find Hebrews to marry. And then they will marry the people from Pharaoh's or from Egyptian, and then destroy the people of God, because they will belong to the Egyptian, not to the people of God. This was the plan. And by the way, this is a plan today, that people, Muslim countries, they send people to marry Christian or to marry North American or English speakers. And after that, they destroy with this way, because they will become Muslim after they marry them. For sure, before they marry, they don't tell them you will be Muslim. They say, oh, you have the freedom. You can go to church. Islam gave you the freedom. But it's really a lie, and the lie is not sin in Islam, for that they allow to lie. But that every time the devil, does this, even nowadays, Pharaoh thought that he could destroy God's people, but he didn't know who he was up against. He didn't know the authority of God. Pharaoh didn't know about God's covenant with his people. And the end of Exodus 2, the Bible says, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. God saw the people of Israel. He heard their groaning. He remembered his covenant. This covenant we see in book of Genesis 15, verse 13 and 14. God told Abraham about the plan that Pharaoh will do with this nation. And they say, no, certainly, that your descendant will be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years, and also the nation whom they serve, I will judge. Afterward, they shall come out with great possessions. Then God told Abraham, God knows everything. God even tell us what was going to happen to us if we live as Christian. He didn't promise us that if we live as Christian, then we have, everybody will love us. Actually, he said, people will hate us if we live with Christian faith. He didn't tell us, okay, if you live Christian, oh, everything will be okay. No, he told us we will face persecution. We will face difficulties, troubles from the people who don't know God. In Genesis 15, God told Abraham what was going to happen to his children. And God told Abraham that he, God, would deliver them and bring judgment on the nation of Egypt. In Exodus 3, we read that God came in his time to deliver his people according to his covenant. And this leads us to the first point. God is sending us to deliver his people. He will deliver his people. But he will never deliver his people with his way, with his unexpected way. Sometimes we need, or sometimes we want God to deliver people with the way that we desire, or the way that we like, or the way that we choose. Even answer our prayer, when we pray, we like God to pray the way that we see, not the way that he sees. And it's totally different. Because God gave us what we need, not according to our desires. He didn't really see our desires. He see what we need. Because sometimes we have evil desires. That's why he didn't answer according to our desires. Most times we see God's deliverance and we're expecting him to deliver us a certain way. And our expectation actually affected by the many things. Like, for example, our education affect our expectation. Moses thought that God would deliver his people by killing people, because Moses went and he found the Egyptian fight with his brother. Then he killed the Egyptian, and he thought that God, that his people will understand that God will give them deliverance through him with this way. But this is not God's way. Sometimes the culture, sometimes our expectation about God also affected our expectation. Jewish people had desire about the Messiah, how the Messiah come to deliver them from the Roman Empire, kick the Roman Empire away. That's why when he came, they didn't know him, or they didn't accept him, they didn't accept his way. Moses was born in Egypt. His parents tried to save him by hiding him for 3 months. But they couldn't hide him anymore. God saved Moses in an unexpected way. You never would have thought that Pharaoh, who decided to kill all the children of the Hebrews, would actually end up raising Moses and educating him. Moses' mother would have paid all what she had to just save his life, to save Moses' life. But instead, Pharaoh's daughter paid her a wage to raise her children, to raise her own children, to be with her son. Only God can turn fools into stools. Only God can do that. Only the oppressor's court becomes the refugee of the oppressed. Oh, the place that issued the command to kill Moses was the same place that saved Moses' life. Only God can do that with us. For that, God deliver us with unexpected ways. Then when God send me or send you, don't put expectation, but be willing to led by the Holy Spirit, by God's word, by God's guidance. Accept what God do, what God does in the people's life. Although Moses experienced God's way, he still tried to save his people of God in his own way. And we can read that in Acts 7 from verse 23 to 29, the story when Moses killed the Egyptian. And then the second day, he tried to reconcile his brothers and they told him, who made you judge or rulers over us? Will you kill me as you killed the Egyptian? That's why Moses fled. Moses was trying to save his people from the hand of the Egyptian, but in his own way. He may have been depending on his position as a prince of Egypt, or perhaps he was depending on his own wisdom. The Bible tells us in Acts 7:22, and Moses was instructed on all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in his words and deeds. Then he was depending on his position, his authority as a prince of Egypt, or the wisdom, his wisdom. But Moses couldn't do anything. Out of fear, he fled to Midian. Moses left the palace of Pharaoh and went to the wilderness. And this too was a part of the preparations that God prepared Moses to be ready for the special call. God didn't save Moses and train him to be a shepherd of sheep. God prepared Moses to be a shepherd of people. And because the training that Moses had in Egypt was not enough, our Lord moved him to practical training. Sometimes we read the Bible, sometimes we hear a sermon, sometimes we read books. But this not enough to bring the gospel to people. We pray for people. But actual training, when we go and speak with people about Christ, and we will see the difference of what we learn, of what we see, and what we see in the practical way when we meet people and tell them about Jesus. Actually, it makes things more understandable when we try to tell people about Christ. Because we tell people what we believe. And this is what Moses needs. To not to depend on his wisdom or his position or authority. God made him to go to depend totally on God. Because in Midian, he had nothing. Even to shepherd the sheep in Middle East, it's not go to like the field. You have the field and take the sheep in the field, or you have the farm and grow some sheep. No, it's not like that. You just take your sheep and try to find a green place to let your sheep, to feed your sheep. And you don't have any guarantee that you will find. You go and look for those. Even the water, you go and look for those water. It's not easy. You depend totally on God, not on material. I know it's different in North America because people, they have things and they depend on things. But God wants us to depend on Him. Doesn't matter if we live in a palace or if we live in the wilderness. The only thing that counts is to be led by God, to be with God, and to obey God in every step in our life, to glorify His name. Can we do that? Can we glorify God's name when we tell people about God's name? According to our own wisdom, we can't. According authority, world authority, we can't. But we can only if we believe that we are not the people who do the work. God will do the work through us and in us. Our responsibility to be willing to do, to be willing to be used by God, to be tools in God's hand, to lead by His Holy Spirit. In the New Testament, we can see that the Jews were expecting the Messiah to come and save them. But because he didn't come according to their expectation, they didn't accept him, but they attacked him. God saved us and delivers us in the way that he chooses to save us. That he chose to save us. He chose to save us through the cross. And Paul said that in Philippians 2, verse 5 and 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of bond servant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. This is the way that God chooses to save us with. Only God can save us. He chooses the time and the way. That's why we see God after 400 years, he came down to save his people with an unexpected way, using Moses as a tool in his hand. And this is the second point. God called Moses to be tools of deliverance. The Lord appeared to Moses in burning bush. While Moses is looking after the flock of at Horeb, God teaches Moses these lessons and teaches us these lessons as well. God is holy. We cannot come even to worship this Sunday. We are not deserved because we are unholy. We come only depending on the blood of Jesus Christ who cleanses us from our sins. God told Moses, don't come close because we are unworthy. Moses was unworthy. We can only come to God because Jesus, our Lord and Savior, makes us righteous. Second, in the presence of our Lord, we recognize that we are unclean. And we cannot make ourselves clean. When we compare ourselves with other people, we see our people better than others. We see, oh, we come to the church Sunday morning, we go Bible study, we go prayer meeting, we do all the things the other people don't do, and then we are better than other people. But when we compare ourselves to God, we see that we are unclean and unworthy. And the good example of that, Isaiah, in book of Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5, when he said, so I said, we is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. This is the prophet Isaiah said, I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. When we see the holiness of God, we see ourselves, we are far from him. That's why we see that we come to him in the name of Jesus Christ, because he saved us and made us righteousness. God himself clean us. We can't clean ourselves. We cannot make ourselves holy. And even in Isaiah 6 said that. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongues from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Only God can do that. We can't clean ourselves. He does that. This reminds us that we are only clean because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And 1 John 1:7 say, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. God tells Moses who he is. Verse 6, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look upon God. God knows that Moses' mother had taught him about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's why he mentioned that he is God of his fathers. Why did God come down and appear to Moses? Verse 7 and 8 said, And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmaster. For I know their sores. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land of to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey. God told Moses, Moses, now I will use you. I will send you, Moses, in this commission. I will send you to deliver my people. I know that you tried before, and it is time now to deliver my people. And the question is, Moses tried to deliver his people by his way. Now God told him, oh, Moses, I am sending you. Did Moses say, oh, thank you, God, this was my desire. I'm waiting for a long time to send me. No, Moses said no. We said, who I am to go. Moses was unhappy when he knew that God would send him back to Egypt to deliver God's people from Egypt. He said, no. The Bible tells us that Moses was unhappy and he said, who am I? Why did Moses say that? As we know, Moses had already tried to save the people of God. He killed the Egyptian to protect his brothers. Moses thought that his brothers would understand that God would save them through Moses. In Acts 7, 24 and 25 said that. So if this was Moses' desire to save his people, why would he refuse? Moses used all kind of excuse to say no. I will not go through the excuse this morning because they need another hour. I will not be long for you. But I will just choose this one. When said, who am I? In fact, Moses compared his own weakness to Pharaoh's power. Moses first tried and failed. And sometimes when we tried and failed, we don't like to try again. And Moses said, oh, I tried, but you tried with your own way. Now I am sending you. I will be with you. Moses compared his power, his weakness, with Pharaoh's power. And Moses knows the Pharaoh's power because he lived there. He lived in the house, in the palace that made all the decisions in that time. For that, he knew everything about Pharaoh's and the army and how strong they are. Moses did that. And he tried to escape and told God, no, I will not go. Who am I? God answered Moses and said, I will be with you. The reason why we fail is because we forget that God is with us. When we forget that God is with us, we be afraid. We see our enemy as more powerful than us. We live in failure and defeat. But when we remember that God is with us, we know that we will overcome. We live in victory because God is with us. The problem that Moses had was that he remembered how powerful Pharaoh was and how weak Moses was. And this is what we do when God sent us. Sometimes we forget about God as with us. We forget about this song that we sung this morning. God is stronger than others. We say it, we sing it, but when we go to the field, we forget about it sometimes. If he's stronger than others, why we have to be afraid of others? Even the disciples, they failed when Jesus told them about everything, every detail about his cross. And he will die and raise again in the third days. And instead of waiting Jesus to raise from this, they went and scattered. Some of them, they locked the door because of the fear of Jews. Some of them, they went to another village. Everyone went away. Because in practice, sometimes we forget that God is with us. But he forget about the power of God. When we face a problem or situation, we should remember that our God is with us. I will choose two examples to show you how God sent us and He is with us. In Judges 6, verse 12, the example of Gideon. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Gideon said to him, "O my Lord, if the Lord is with me, is with us, why then has all this happened to us?" We ask the same question. If the Lord was with us, why then has all this happened to us? We ask the same question that Gideon asked. "And where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" The problem is not you are weak. The problem is you don't obey what I told you. "Have I not sent you? You see yourself weak." So he said to him, "O my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you." Sometimes we see ourselves this way. We are weakest of weakest. He's from the youngest tribe and the weakest one in the youngest tribe. It's like weakest of weakest. And sometimes we see, oh, we are Christian. We are few people. We are weak. We can't do it. The problem is because we don't put our God in our side. We don't think that God is with us. And that's why God told him, okay, "The Lord said to him, 'Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man.'" If we obey, when we compare ourselves with our enemies, we compare in the wrong way because we forget that God is with us. His name is Emmanuel, which means God is with us. The another example give you the different people in Book of Numbers, chapter 13, when Moses sent the spices and the 12 people went. The majority's report was based on fear and a lack of trust in God, while Caleb's report was based on faith. Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it." Caleb knew that God was with him, but the others focused on the giants in the land. That is why they said, "We seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them." We are weak in our own eyes. Then we give the other people impression that we are weak. We act as weak. But Caleb act as strong, not because he is strong, but because the power of God in him. God is with us. We can't have victory without God. We cannot do anything without God. We can live in the same country, because those people saw the same thing, the same people, the same land, and the same at the same time. But different reports. We can live in the same country. We can have the same culture. But the people of the covenant have to live in victory. Not because we have power in our own strengths, but because we trust that our Father is with us. This answer, "I will be with you," remind us when Jesus sent his disciples on a special commission, in a great commission. He told them, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." God never send us on any kind of mission and then leaves us alone. He is with us. What a wonderful answer that God gave it to Moses. I will be with you. God Himself is with us. The Creator, the mighty God, is with me and with you. Not only that, but God gave Moses a sign, and the sign was, "And this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." God's call will be confirmed by His future action. God guaranteed the victory. That's why I said, you will worship me on this mountain. The mountain that you serve is Egyptian. You will serve me on this mountain. Having served the Egyptian here, God will give you this, and you will serve God on this mountain, and you will continue with God, and He is with me and with you. God is sending us. I know, like when we read this, the rest of the chapter and chapter 4, Moses start to give different excuses and the same excuse that we give. He told him who you are, what's your name. Second, the people will not believe me. Oh, I can't speak. And those things is that even we present as excuses to run away from our responsibility. But God said, I will be with you. And He answered every excuse that Moses put or tried to give to run away. God delivered us with an unexpected way. God uses us as tools in His hand to deliver people. God sent Moses to deliver people from the bondage of Pharaoh. God is sending us to deliver people from different kind of bondage. The people live in bondage. The people live and believe some false teaching. This is bondage. People away from God, it's a bondage. People in fear, it's a bondage. The fear put us in bondage. God wants to deliver us and then send us. I am sending you and I will be with you. What a wonderful answer and what a wonderful God that we have. He never just put us in the front line and leave us alone. But He is with us, protect us, and give us the wisdom and guidance by His Holy Spirit.